Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Welcome to Let's Talk About It, a radio show and podcast brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services, where we explore the depths of mental health, well-being, and self-care. I'm your host for today, Alfonso Ruiz, and each week we'll have real conversations about the challenges we face, the strategies that help us cope, and the ways we can all find peace in our busy lives. Whether you're here to learn more about mental health, looking for support, or just need a little inspiration, you're not alone. This is a space to share, heal, and grow together. Whether you're living with mental illness or supporting someone who is, remember help is always available, and seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. For services, you can call 442-265-1525 or toll-free 1-800-817-5292. Services are tailored to your needs, and they remain confidential. So take a deep breath, get comfortable, and let's dive in. This week, our guest on the show is Jacob Welch, a certified substance use disorder counselor with Imperial County Behavioral Health. Jacob will be talking to us about the services he offers through the Youth Opioid Response Grant, which provides substance use disorder treatment to our youth and young adults. Join us Thursdays at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingue on 88.7 FM, Sunday mornings at 7 a.m. on KXO AM radio station 1230, and on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. on KXO Radio FM 107.5. So without further ado, I am very pleased to introduce Jacob. Hello, Jacob. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing today?
Doing good. You know, it was nice seeing you today at our groundbreaking celebration for the Adult Residential Substance Use Disorder Treatment Facility.
It was awesome. It was an awesome experience being able to see you in person and off, not off of a Zoom screen.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, a lot of the interaction we have is always through Zoom. You know, 2026 and post-pandemic, that's what it's brought us to. So I agree. It was very nice seeing you, Jacob. And, you know, today's topic is going to be about the Youth Opioid Response Grant, the services that you offer through substance use disorder treatment. And but like I mentioned just now, something for the listeners to be following. There was a groundbreaking celebration today for the Adult Residential Substance Use Disorder Treatment Facility, which was another grant that was awarded. And a lot of staff within our department and other departments, it was a true collaborative, worked tirelessly to make this happen. And it's finally coming to fruition. So that was very, very exciting to be a part of and to see. And I'm sure you're just as excited, right, Jacob?
Oh, absolutely. It's something that the Imperial County and every county needs is a local rehab. And we're getting one coming soon.
Yeah, and the facility, I saw the pictures, just looks absolutely beautiful. So definitely for our audience, please follow that. I'm sure there'll be more information coming for the public. So, Jacob, now, you know, back to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, what brought you to behavioral health, and just a little bit about you and your background.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So a little bit about me is I'm from Imperial County. I was born and raised in Brawley. Born in Brawley, raised in Imperial. I originally went to school to be a teacher, graduated with my associates in teaching, but decided to not pursue that and actually got into the retail business. But life happened. Daughter was born, got married, and I wanted to settle down a little bit more. And I decided to go back to school because I enrolled into college. When I enrolled into college earlier, I took a lot of psychology courses. And during that time, I lost a lot of friends, a lot of family members to addiction, to mental health disorders. So it very intrigued me. So I decided to do it. It took me 17 years to decide that. You know, I was in retail for almost 21 years, you know, from graduating high school to getting into this field. And I've been here almost 4.5 years, and I love it.
Amazing, amazing. You know, I think a lot of times that's how life works, right? We have a plan for ourselves, and as they say, life happens, and suddenly our trajectory changes. But when you have individuals such as yourself, Jacob, who have the passion and the understanding, you know, the community that we serve, because we're public servants, right? We serve those in need, benefit so much more because there's that genuine desire to do that. And I see that from you.
Yeah, thank you. It's something that I have a lot of passion for. I enjoy doing what I do, and I think that's what any of the youths or anybody that's looking for services, dealing with a doctor, a nurse, or a psychologist and a counselor, you want someone who has the compassion to help the person for what they want.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think one of the very real things with the work and the field that we're in is oftentimes it's burnout, right? Or that compassion fatigue, when working with individuals in need, because we give our best selves to those that need the help in that time. Are there any ways that you cope with this? Any hobbies that you participate in?
Yeah, good question. I'm someone who lives with a lot of anxiety. I was diagnosed with anxiety at an early age, and I've learned how to manage some of those symptoms. And one of the ones that I discovered late on in my life is running. You know, I'm part of Imperial Valley Run Club, and it's something that we do avidly. You know, it's something that when I run, I can have a long day at work, deal with a lot of manage a lot of clients, deal with a lot of concerns, and you know, that's a lot for someone to hold, you know, someone to hear, someone to listen to. And my ways of getting it out is literally beating myself up through running. You know, I'm running, and most runners say they don't like running, you know, but the mental health that you get with running is being able to decompress a lot of those symptoms, you know, because all of us are prone to addiction, all of us are prone to negative behaviors, all of us are prone to criminal activities if we allow ourselves to. And you know, Alfonso, that's a good look question and something to focus on for all of us, even if we're not dealing with addiction, is to find some self-care for ourselves and to being able to get a lot of our feelings. And you know, like I was telling you before, is when I run, I don't think. I'm just running. I'm lost in my mind, and it's just a relaxation.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jacob. I think, you know, healthy outlets, right? Because like you said, there's plenty of outlets to choose from. Not all of them are healthy. And, you know, running, if you're gonna decompress, do it in the right way, right? Let's find a positive way to do that. You know, I myself was a runner back in high school many, many ages ago. I'm not gonna age myself here on the show, but definitely I hear what you're saying. It's kind of a love-hate relationship because it does feel like you're putting your body through the wringer when you're pushing it to the limits. And at the end of it though, you feel so accomplished, like, oh wow, I did run those 5 miles or 3 miles or whatever it may be. I hear people out there running, you know, 10 miles a day, and I'm like, how do you do that? That's an awesome outlet. And then I hear Run Club, I'm hearing it's a community, right? It's a community of individuals that go out and run together.
Yeah, it's a community run club. You know, everybody in the community is invited. You don't have to sign up. You just show up. You show up on Wednesdays at 6:30. You can run Saturdays at 8 in the morning, 7 in the morning. We run all the time, and it's a good web page you can follow if you wanted to know about the hours that people go up. But that's a good thing with running is you can just get outside and run. You can just start, pick up some shoes, and start running.
Yeah, very, very minimal expenses there, right? No
Yes,
hefty
minus
gym
shoes.
membership, minus the
Just
shoes.
shoes.
And I'm sure if you're an avid runner, you go through shoes pretty quickly.
Every 150, 200 miles.
Oh, wow. So to the audience, that already tells you that Jacob is definitely probably one of those 10 milers that putting in
Yeah,
the 10 miles.
I have a guilty conscience on that one. Yeah, I do.
No, well worth it. I'm sure your heart's appreciating it, you know, and
Yes.
it's good. It's good. And your mental health, as you mentioned.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Jacob, a little bit about yourself as a certified SUD counselor. And for those of you listening, SUD is short for substance use disorder. What does a certified SUD counselor do?
Well, we do a lot, you know. That's why one of the joys that I have of this job is every day is going to be different. You know, we could come in, we could be doing a lot of intakes, which means someone from the streets comes in and says, I want services. You know, they could come into our office, we call our access line, open up for services, and we do a screening tool. A screening tool is just basically going off of a little bit of background and what's bringing you in for services. That's done almost on a daily basis. But some of the other tasks that we do is individual counseling. We go over different group counseling, individual counseling. We do drug testing, swab testing, urine drug testing. We do things like linking to rehab, collaborating with CPS, probation, collaborating sometimes with parents, sometimes doing some family education with, you know, mom, dad, sister, aunt, uncle, so forth, you know, that support system. We do a lot of just, we do have a lot of different hats that we wear every single day. It really depends what the day throws to you. So it's a field that you kind of like, it's unexpected. You got to expect the unexpected because, you know, at any time of the day, we have to put that different hat on to work with what the client's needs are or the person and individual.
Nice, nice. So it's any given day can look different.
Correct.
That's good. Well, that's exciting, right? Because I think that a lot of us look at the field that we want to go into, and sometimes we don't want something that's super monotonous, you know, same kind of routine every day. One of the very big benefits of working with individuals is that everybody's so different, right? We all have different walks of life. And when you meet that individual through the door, with compassion, it's like, okay, I'm here to help. Right. And you told us a little bit about what led you into this field of work. What are some of the things that you envision for yourself?
What I envision for myself is to just continue being who I am. You know, that's something that I try not to lose is my compassion. Alfonso, what you said is my compassion and my drive just to help individuals that are struggling. You know, a lot of times individuals come into our clinic that they don't have confidence in themselves because they're judged by others. But the good thing with, you know, behavioral health is we build this atmosphere that's a judge-free zone. And I like to keep it that way. I like to run things that way. I like to mentor, you know, new counselors, new peer supports, new therapists that are coming into our clinic because this field is growing for, you know, the reasons that we envision is, you know, these rehabs, you know, we're going to get this Brawley clinic coming rolling pretty soon. And it's just a lot of good stuff. But I envision myself just staying in this field for till I can keep going. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, I think every time I have the privilege of having our guest speaker be one of our staff from our agency, one of the things that I see, and really all of our speakers that have been coming through the show are guest speakers, that work in the human services field as we do, you hear the passion behind the work that they do, and how much they enjoy working with those in need and just helping us become the better version of ourselves, right? Because I think all of us have the ability to grow and become a better version of ourselves than what we were yesterday. And you're no exception, Jacob. I hear that desire and that compassion from you. And it's just incredible. You know, I think that we're very fortunate to have individuals as yourself serving our community and working alongside myself in this agency. It's amazing. So I'm so happy that you're part of our team.
I appreciate that.
So Jacob, tell us a little bit about the YOR grant, which is the Youth Opioid Response Grant, and the program that you're in and who it serves.
The people that it serves is anyone from the ages of 16 to 25. But what YOR is it's a statewide initiative in California designed to reduce opioid and stimulant among youth and young adults, you know, ranges 16 to 29. I know a really good question is what is an opioid and what is a stimulant? We'll review that later in this recording, but, you know, and it provides a lot of funding, technical assistance and training for communities such as ours, you know, schools and healthcare providers to help create accessible continuum of care for these young people that are, going through what is perceived as you know, their struggles with stimulant or opioid use.
Yeah, and one of the things that I was listening earlier is that you'll do groups also, right? As part of, as a counselor.
Yes.
Groups for these individuals. And what does that group setting look like?
group settings are kind of like what we're doing now, Alfonso, is you know, we're sitting here, we're having a conversation. Obviously, the therapist and counselor that is facilitating these groups has a group topic. For instance, you know, let's just say we're in a cognitive behavioral therapy group and we're talking about managing emotions without the use of substances. You know, we're just going to have general conversations, check-ins, you know, casual talking, throwing, you know, going over topics like, you know, like I said before, is managing emotions. We deal with a lot of grounding techniques, you know, mindful listening. We go through a lot of grounding skills, and it's just, it's a good conversation and a good set toner to help with some of the flaws that we're dealing with.
Okay, great. And then again, you know, in that group setting, that sense of community, right? Having other individuals, just as, you know, myself, yourself, that are maybe going through something similar, right? Just kind of normalizing, like, hey, you're not alone in this.
Yeah, and a lot of times with stigma out there is sometimes we don't, as individuals, know who to turn to. And sometimes we turn to the wrong people. And the good thing with groups is you're dealing with people that do want to improve also, just like you do, being in that group or in that individual session, you're able to learn and experience what someone else has been through.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell us again, what is the age group that the program focuses on?
16 to 25 for the Your Grant.
Okay, 16 to 25. So late adolescence going into early adulthood.
Yes.
That's an essential age group, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's the start of, you know, early adulthood to where people start becoming young teens start to become the adults that they want to be. And, you know, the ones that are struggling with addiction, they get stuck.
Yeah. And then there's a lot of changes that we go through. Like you mentioned, early adulthood, it might be a time where you're looking at venturing out. Maybe, you know, you're living with mom and dad, but as you approach 18, you're looking at maybe getting your own place or you start working. And what we find out in life as we grow up, and I'm a, you know, I think all of us can attest to this, is that once real responsibility starts and you have to suddenly start paying the bills, or, you know, maybe you have a child at a young age and that adds extra responsibility, stress is a component that comes along with all of this. And when we each and of us experience stress, we have decisions to make. And we touched up on it earlier. How do we cope with this, right? How do I cope with the stress, with that weight that I feel on my shoulders? And the weight is real for all of us, right? Independent of where we come from and our background, we can always choose either healthy mechanisms for that stress or unhealthy. And it sounds that in these settings that you offer in this group treatment, you know, it's going to hopefully provide options for positive outlets when it comes to the stress that you're dealing with.
Correct.
So looking at a little bit more about the services there, what does the case management side of your services, what does that look like for somebody that's interested in this service?
That's a good thing with coming to behavioral health also is we, like I said before, we have that hat, you know, we care that hat that every single day could be something different. You know, you as a young teen could be coming into my clinic just saying, you know what, I need help finding a house. I need help finding an apartment. I need help finding assisted living. I need help. Those are called social deterrents of health. You know, there it's things that could help you to sustain sobriety, because being homeless, you know, getting help with probation. Sometimes we have barriers with probation officers, coming from a client to where it's like, hey, I need to work, but my probation officer isn't allowing me to work. You know, we can help out with that. No promises, you know, but we can, you know, we can collaborate with that probation officer or that parent or that guardian and work through some of the barriers that might prevent them from succeeding, including transportation too. If you need transportation to our clinic, we provide transportation to and from. We help, we've helped individuals get IDs. We've helped individuals get job placements, housing assistance, cash aid. There's a lot of things that we can help out with outside of counseling.
Nice. Nice. It reminds me of the game show. Which one is it? It's where you get the phone and it's like, hey, you know, can I phone a friend?
Phone a friend. We're that friend.
You're that friend, right? That's what I'm hearing, friend. Right? Like, hey, yeah. You know what? Let's go. I got you. I'm gonna take care of you. You need transportation? We can do that. You got a meeting coming up with your probation officer? You know what? I'll be there as
I
support.
got you.
Right? I got you. So I think that's so important because a lot of these agencies that we have to work with, you know, as an individual could be scary, right? Like, how do I navigate this process? And, you know, you yourself and your colleagues are there to support them, right? The people that you're
Absolutely.
serving. And I was going to ask, you know, about the main goal of your and how it addresses the need in our community. And I feel like you're already starting to touch up on that. But, you know, how do you see this addressing the need that our community has?
It's helping with a growing problem that it's not just Imperial County. It's every county. I'm pretty sure every place in the world that's having a problem with addiction, stimulant use, opioid use, and so forth. But what YOUR is helping out with is just helping this age group of 16 to 25 that doesn't have the education. I mean, me growing up also, I didn't have this education, you know, so I can only imagine to where if I didn't have, you know, the parents that I grew up with and the support system that I had, to where I could have fallen off, which I did at an earlier, later age. But, you know, but what YOUR is helping out with is it just gives education to the community, education to the schools. It helps with it just helps with some of the stigma. And as a young teen or a young adult, you know, let's just say you went to juvenile hall, you went to jail, you don't know where to turn to. And a lot of times there's stigma about addiction to where you can't recover from it. And YOUR helps with, you know, just providing training, training with healthcare providers, and just helping out with getting this information that we all have as counselors out in the community to give them a better understanding of where to go if we do struggle for help and not expect to get judged. Because I mean, I wouldn't want to go to a doctor's office. I'm going to get judged if I'm overweight just because I eat too much. You know, it's something like we try to normalize this behavior to where it's like it's a brain disorder. It's a brain disease that we're going through with addiction, and it's a very curable brain disease with the right help.
Absolutely, man. I love that. You know, I remember as a young child, and just kind of bringing it all together. I don't know if it was in your classroom, but it was in mine, in many of them. It was this huge banner that the teachers would put up, knowledge is power. And I remember reading that, and I remember thinking, like, knowledge is power, right? And as I grow older, and I continue as a professional, the things that you just mentioned they're so basic, but so necessary, right? The community outreach, really giving the knowledge to our youth population, young adult population, that, hey, there are services here that can help you. And you come in without judgment, right? We're just here to help at whatever stage of life or whatever stage of your use you're in. We're going to help you with that. And we're going to find the best treatment possible to help you live. Because at the end of the day, this service, if you utilize it, it could really keep you alive.
It can keep you healthy too.
It can keep you healthy, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. So it's just like going to a doctor's office, right? Any doctor's office, no, you know, let's remove the stigma. We're just here to help you and keep you healthy, keep you alive. So I think that's incredibly powerful. And is there anything that you want to leave our audience with right now before we transition into the second segment of our show?
Yeah, there's more to come. I would like to just remind you guys, you know, we have a lot of education for you out there, and we're going to use normal language. We're not going to throw any psychotherapy tools out there. We're just going to use normal everyday language to keep everybody engaged. And just, we're trying to get over that hurdle of, you know, that stigma. I know we've said this a lot of times, but, you know, just false belief. You know, false belief that addiction is a disorder of just a lack of choice. You know, it's a lot of times we're going to explore within our counseling is just how and why the things we do and why we do them. Those are called core beliefs, and we like to discover those in counseling.
Amazing. I appreciate that, Jacob. So for all of you listening, we'll be back with Jacob Welch, a substance use disorder treatment counselor, certified here with Imperial County Behavioral Health. We have more to talk about. So stay comfortable. We're going to take a brief break. And remember, whether you're living with mental illness or a substance use disorder, or supporting someone who is, we're here to help. Seeking help is a sign of strength, not weakness. Again, our number for services is our 442-265-1525. You can also reach us toll-free at 1-800-817-5292. All of our services here are confidential and they're tailored to your needs. We'll be right back after this brief break.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome back to our weekly radio show, Let's Talk About It. Here we are back with Jacob Welch, certified substance use disorder counselor here with Imperial County Behavioral Health. He's been serving our agency for 4.5 years, and it's been a pleasure talking to you, Jacob. So let's dive in to a little bit more about your services that are offered for youth opioid response. You know, offline, we were talking a little bit about some of the trends that we're seeing. And that's something that's, I think, super important to touch up on regarding what some of the most common reasons young people start using substances today. It could look different from, you know, when our parents, grandparents, you know, were living or are living, right? So what are some of the trends that we see now? What are some of the reasons in your experience, you know, talking to the youth as to why they're using today?
Yeah, I see a lot of trends towards nicotine, vapes, alcohol. This stuff is strong nowadays. You know, growing up, and I'm not going to age myself either, but back in my days, things weren't as strong as they were with alcohol concentrates. Cannabis is another big one. Cannabis, THC, it's so strong and potent to where our brains a lot of times can't handle that amount of dopamine and euphoric feeling. And I feel like that specifically causes the youth to go towards something stronger like our opioids.
All right. Cannabis being like marijuana.
Yes, correct. Right. Yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. No, marijuana. I hear cannabis. I'm like, okay, he's talking about marijuana. Yeah. And that's something that I've heard actually that now that it's been legalized, the marijuana that you buy over the counter is stronger than maybe what was available like in the 70s.
Correct.
Right.
It's the concentrate of it is so strong. And, you know, I know there's stuff out there on how strong it is. It mimics some of the feelings that some of the other opioids go through and some of the stimulants, you know, with the different blends of cannabis out there, depending on if it's sativa or indica. And it's causing our teens to, you know, when they don't get that high, that good feeling from the cannabis, they're like, okay, well, what's next? Remember, that brain is going through a lot of the euphoric feeling that the drug is providing. So now when it's not working anymore, also called tolerance, our body gets used to it. It wants something stronger naturally. That could be even with caffeine, you know, caffeine, nicotine, gambling, you know, our brain wants more than what it's getting provided. So, you know, when cannabis stops working, which sometimes it does, and you want that more euphoric feeling, it causes our teens specifically to go to something stronger because that's what's becoming available. And their brains are still growing. You know, our brains as this age population, it's still growing. So, you know, as I've discussed before, is addiction is a brain disease. And when we're starting to mess with the chemical makeup of the brain, it naturally wants more and more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, just like you mentioned caffeine, right? Like, I think that's something that a lot of us can relate to. Like you start your morning with a cup of coffee and you think like, I need coffee as soon as I wake up. And something that I've learned, because I'm an avid coffee drinker, right?
Me too.
And it's just as addicting.
Yeah.
You know, how many times do you go to Starbucks? It's like, hey, I see that guy here every day too, right? So
yeah.
a lot of us do that, but you think you need it first thing in the morning. In actuality, your brain really doesn't need coffee as soon as you wake up, right?
Nope.
If you wait an hour, you acclimate and you're just fine. It's actually better if you drink coffee, not first thing in the morning. Now, when it comes to like vaping, I don't know, like I also see the teens and I think about the pressures that we have today, you know, with our millennials, you know, we're in 2026, things that didn't exist in our time. I'm assuming I'm not aging you, but I'm thinking that when you were growing up like me, there wasn't TikTok, there wasn't
Nope.
Instagram, Facebook. Even when I was in high school, I had a flip phone at that time. And texting was like so many cents per text
Yep.
and right. So, and now you have everything available at your fingertips, our youth do. I'm sure there's some pressures there too.
Social media pressure is huge. You know, every time we open our phone, like what you said, Alfonso, is with this generation, you know, it's easy to communicate with anybody you want. But remember, this is unfiltered information coming across to our teens and our, you know, and our young adults is this, you know, this media from Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, YouTube, all this information is a lot of times unfiltered. And a lot of what I mean with unfiltered is you have algorithms that your account's building. So if you looked at cigarettes, you're always going to see tobacco, cigarettes, nicotine. It starts going to vapes, and that gets your mind thinking on that, even if you weren't even looking that up. So with social media, you're getting that information 24/7. And you know, after the pandemic that happened, it isolated a lot of people, especially the, you know, the age group of 16 to 25 that went through this pandemic. A lot of times they couldn't go to school, they were isolated a lot, they were on social media a lot, and they got predisposed to a lot of this information that this false information that gets spread out through the internet. And it gets just gets them predisposed and normalizes the substance use, from alcohol to, you know, nicotine if you're not 21, to cannabis, marijuana, and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you know, the pandemic definitely shook things up for all of us, and the isolation and the easy the accessibility to just being online, right? A lot of people grew up online throughout their first years of high school, not really mingling with their peers. And that algorithm, it's something tricky, right? Marketing at its best.
Oh, it is.
These companies are getting a lot of promotion just through these algorithms. And it's easily like, hey, I need that, right? Like whether it's the vaping or the alcohol that you're seeing through these ads, or you know, something healthy like running,
Yep.
right? The
Yep.
algorithm works in both ways. And suddenly you're seeing runners, but then there it's like, I need those shoes. I need the
Yep.
Brooks. I need the Brooks, or I need, you know, whatever brand shoe you use to run. But yeah, definitely. Social media is a tricky thing, and for our youth. And I'm sure that through that, you know, in my experience, there's also a lot of bullying on online.
It is. It's the bullying. I know social media could be very beneficial. I use social media. So, but social media also, like I said before, there's no filter. So a lot of our teens, a lot of our adults, a lot of our elderly are getting, you know, tricked, scammed, and bullied online, and there's pretty much nobody there. There's no safeguards on online. I know you can put an age restriction if you're a parent, but kids are smarter than that. This generation is very technology smart. You know, that's what I give to you guys. You know, this age group from 16 to 25, you guys are very smart on a computer. And that's the hard part, because there's no safety net there.
Yeah. And when it comes to some of these challenges that you're seeing amongst youth and opioid use, like what are you seeing that's kind of the biggest challenge or hurdle for them?
To this generation, or anybody through this, y the youth that are struggling either with opioids, or it just became normalized. You know, Vicodin, Norcos, Percocets, oxycodones, these are all opioids that I'm talking about. That's when I say opioids, I'm talking about those prescription medication. We're not even talking about the fentanyl and some of the other things like the M30s that you can get on the streets. I'm talking about the things that you can get in your kit, you know, if someone's prescribed, that you might, you know, have in your counters. Those are the things that this youth is being exposed to, because a lot of these youths, when they're being raised, that a lot of times they don't have a mother and a father. You know, some have grandma and grandpa raising them. Some are in the foster care system. You know, that this generation, a lot of times they have so many brothers and sisters, they don't get all the attention they need. And, you know, what do you resort to is, you know, your liked beings on people that you hang out with. So this youth movement right now is that they're bunched up together. And it sometimes starts with something like, you know, marijuana. It starts with weed. It starts with nicotine, you know, vapes and this strong concentrate like we went through before. And, you know, these challenges that we're seeing is just getting people actively involved in identifying these struggles and, you know, wanting to come into services, you know, because of stigma and because of it goes back to social media. You know, it shows across social media that you're weak if you go to treatment, you know, and we know that's false. All of us can use some type of counseling in our life.
Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't matter, you know, how ideal our lives look. I think any one of us can really benefit from talking to somebody about some of the struggles that we go through, and some of them may be temporary and just seeking out that treatment is very helpful. And some of us need a little bit more long-term, right? And, you know, what are, when we're talking about, you know, the youth seeking treatment, what are some of the barriers? And I think you've kind of mentioned some of them, you know, stigma being one of them. Earlier you mentioned transportation. But what are some of the barriers that you see for our youth that are seeking treatment?
I feel the barriers are kind of what we have been discussing is the social media influence that you don't need services, or some of the things they see on TV aren't what they expect when they get into the services. You know, you see on TV, you see these glorious places that people go to that's near the ocean, and we don't have an ocean in Pearl County. So it's like you don't, yeah, but another thing is sometimes you see the other aspect of it is where you see on TV or you see on the internet, you know, some of the scary things. I forgot what the show is called, but on TikTok, I see it comes across my algorithm sometimes too, is to where the scary stuff that you see on the streets, and that's what they think they're going to go to a clinic is. So a lot of times social media just plays tricks on this generation, including ourselves as adults. You know, it can be very tricky, but I feel like the majority of the challenge is just the lack of education these youth are receiving, you know, from school, from parents, from us as a community. You know, we don't have enough community involvement to spread the word about how dangerous addiction is and how addiction, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate at all. You can have money. You can have lack of money. You can be homeless. You can be rich. You can be poor. You can be an athlete. You can be a star. You know, you can be a valedictorian. You can be, you know, president of the United States. You know, whatever you're going through, addiction doesn't discriminate because, you know, mental health conditions, peer pressure, you know, social determinants of health, all those can hit us when we least expect it. I like to call them in my group sessions like life's curveballs. You know, yeah. We can get that. You know, that toothache and go to the streets for some oxycodone, you know, Vicodin or something because we're in pain. And then all of a sudden we're addicted and we don't know it. And now we're on fentanyl. I know this doesn't, to some people it's like, man, it doesn't go that quick. It does go that quick. It goes that quick to where we self-medicated at one point and now we feel lost. And this generation before they know it, because of how easy substances are to get nowadays, is I think that is the barrier, is how easy, ease of access that substance use is. I mean, drive down the street, every single corner, there's liquor stores. You know, that's yeah. How easy it is for a teen or an adult to get alcohol, cannabis, and so forth.
Yeah, I think you mentioned even earlier, like as we're talking online, you know, it's, you don't have to go down the creepy alley like they portrayed it back mm-hmm. in the day, right? It's like, oh, hey, there's people online that are easy to connect with and get these. And, you know, that's a barrier within itself. And just the ability to want to seek treatment, right? I think that's taking that first step, like, hey, you know what? I want to try to get some help. And sometimes that first step is maybe the hardest step, but from there on, it's like progression. So just before we wrap up this segment, Jacob, if I'm interested in treatment, do I need to already be struggling with an opioid use?
You don't, you know, we like to do some preventative work also. We like to link you to, and that's the good thing is even if you're not if you're between the ages of 16 and 18, you can go to our adolescent clinic for our substance use disorder clinic and receive services for preventative work. You know, going through as a young teen, you know, if we're talking about that 18 to 25 year old, coming into our clinic and see, you know, you might have some stressors that might put you into some criteria for some early recovery type of interventions that we can work after. That's less intense. Instead of coming once a week for 12 weeks, you're only coming like once every 2 weeks, once every 4 weeks. It could be very less intense, and we could link you to aftercare services like AA or NA or some smart recovery groups, you know, just to get you educated, a little bit more educated on some of the risk factors that you might be associating in.
Okay, amazing. So prevention is there.
Yes.
All right. Well, Jacob, thank you so much. Audience, those listening, we have one more segment to go. Please check back in with us soon. Jacob Welch is our guest speaker for today. We'll be right back.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to your weekly radio show, Let's Talk About It. Today's guest speaker is Jacob Welch, and he's been talking to us about the Youth Opioid Response Grant and services that they offer through substance use disorder treatment. Jacob's a certified substance use disorder counselor here with Imperial County Behavioral Health. And we're about getting to wrap up the show. We're excited, Jacob. It's been a pleasure talking to you today. Welcome back. So one of the things that we wanted to touch up on is, you know, a lot of us, we're parents, we're teachers, we're friends, and we might have someone, a student, a daughter, a son, a niece, a nephew, or a friend of ours that is struggling with substance use. And there might be some signs that are not so obvious that they need help, right? And I think it's important for us to kind of know a little bit more about signs and symptoms that we may be missing that are evident to an expert such as yourself. So what are some of the warning signs that a young person might be struggling with substance use?
Some of the more obvious ones that we could kind of see if we totally focus on it is when an individual has a loss of control, you know, the inabilities to limit their substance use. You know, as a teacher, if you see someone, you know, smoking a little bit more than they normally do, that could be a key warning sign that they're going to possibly go to something more harmful. You know, frequently use more intended. If they try to and fail to cut down on their usage. This is mainly for adults 18 or older, but, you know, if you ever see someone going through like shaking, sweaty, you know, anxiety, a lot of nausea out of the ordinary, and that's not something that this person normally deals with, you know, increased anxiety, you know, mainly focusing on like the behavioral and social warning signs. You know, if this person starts to be extremely more secretive, lying about where they've been, if they're in school and their grades all of a sudden start dropping, or they're a sports athlete and they miss a lot of practice, you know, neglecting responsibilities. Maybe someone's not coming to school anymore. They used to be a straight A student or someone who never misses school, and all of a sudden they're missing a lot of school. They seem withdrawn. Maybe they don't talk to their friends anymore, or they start hanging around with other friends or being by themselves. And a lot of times, like, dangerous, risky behaviors, driving under the influence, you know, a lot of times those are warning signs to where someone might be dealing with something more severe than what we think it is.
So any behaviors that suddenly start looking different, right, from the person that we know, and those are key. Sometimes you may not realize that somebody's a little bit more withdrawn, and we just have to pay extra attention with these individuals. Because we know our friends, right? And I think sometimes you got that inkling of like, hey, you know, something seems a little off. I think it's very appropriate just to ask, like, hey, is everything all right? I've noticed this change.
That and paying attention to their physical appearance. If there's someone who's always done their hair and they don't do their hair anymore, if there's someone who has their clothes, something as simple as how always had their clothes ironed, yeah, you know, and they come in with wrinkly or ripped clothes, and there's someone who usually paid attention to their clothing, or, you know, maybe their smell, maybe an unusual smell of, you know, maybe increased nicotine or body odor, or, you know, sudden mood swings. And a lot of times the physical appearance alone, you know, their affect and how they're smiling, maybe they don't smile anymore, their hygiene, those are all warning signs to where it's like, hey, instead of just saying, hey, you go need to go get help with SUD. No, it's like, hey, let's have a talk. Right. Let's talk real quick.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, the approach is everything. Mm-hmm. And instead of like going straight to, hey, I think you need treatment, my friend. It's like, hey, let's talk. Like I noticed something. The mood swings, Jacob, I think that's something that I was actually thinking about as we were talking, because I could think of a situation where, you know, I thought, hey, this person is suddenly having some pretty serious mood swings, even angry when anger wasn't a part of who they were before. And obviously there could be many different reasons for that, but it's something that we may not even realize. It could be related to substance use.
Absolutely. And that's some of those warning signs that you just want to have the talk. You know, it's not like saying, hey, are you abusing substances? No, just saying, hey, what's going on? I noticed, you know, we use a lot of I statements. I noticed that, you know, you are acting different than you normally look, or I noticed that you're not appearing as you normally appear. What's going on? You know, having that talk, and, you know, a lot could come out of that, because sometimes some people just want to be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. And then what's the best way for someone to ask for help when they're nervous or just unsure about asking for it?
I think that's a million-dollar question. You know, we go over that in therapy a lot. Is one of the things when people are in counseling is we need to start exploring the abilities to ask for help. A lot of times, I usually tell individuals that one person you trust, ask them for help, because that one person could ask someone else, which can ask someone else. I know some individuals say, you know what, I don't have anybody that I can trust. You know, that trust issue with confidentiality, that's something that our clinic is based upon. You know, we have HIPAA laws, you know, which protects your health record. We have Title 42, which protects your substance use history, your substance record. We can't even tell anybody that you're part of our clinic, you know. So those are good things to know, that, you know, hey, you know, come to SUD, come to mental health, you know, talk to them, because they can't even talk to anybody unless you're in harm to yourself or you're harming someone else. And, you know, I think that's the talk that comes with all education, you know, like, hey, they can't even talk to anybody, even if they wanted to, you know, type of thing. And just in being able to call that phone number, you know, which, you know, Alfonso's given it a few times, you know, I like to always remember, dial that 1525 phone number and open up, at, you know, services to us, because all your services are confidential. And, you know, that starts that whole process. But if you don't even, can't even go that far, find that one person that you trust. Find that one person that you could confide to. Find that best friend. Find that mother, that father, that sister, that daughter to an extent, you know, that aunt, uncle, you know, and ask them, like, hey, can you come with me to this session? Hey, can you help me find this, you know, this resource, you know, because the resources are out there. You know, I know we're in Imperial County, and there's a lot of resources out there. That's another service that us counselors and therapists at Behavior Health do, is we help you find the resources that are available to you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And you know, the confidentiality is so important, right? And that's something that a lot of people may worry about, because we are a small community. But our staff is held to the highest standard when it comes to confidentiality. Not confirming and denying whether anybody is a client of ours is something that we train on a yearly basis, you know, with the confidentiality standards and the new laws and how they're changing. So I'm happy that you mentioned that, because it's a very real worry that people may have if someone were to find out that they're seeking services or getting treatment. So I appreciate you mentioning that. So for those of you listening, remember, your service is here with our department at Imperial County Behavioral Health, whether it's mental health or substance use. They are confidential, and we hold that to the highest standard. Jacob, transitioning into something positive, not that our whole conversation has been positive, but what I mean by this is transitioning to like a success story, because you work with individuals, you've been with our agency doing the work for almost 5 years now. What are some of the success stories that you've seen?
I have a lot, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but we have a lot of, I like to say broadly, we have more of a community that we've grown, you know, getting this Brawley clinic that we're trying to open up and getting this rehab. A lot of that comes from our clients, you know, a lot of our clients that have advocated for themselves and become speakers at these events to try to push for some of the things that we're going for. You know, I think that's a huge story to highlight. I've had individuals come in through court referred, on probation, parole, CPS. A lot of them have got their kids back. A lot of these young ones that come in to where they were foster children and then went straight to the streets and used, they came to us, you know, through a process. We were able to get them some assisted living. One of them, you know, got a job locally, you know, started being and ended up enrolling back into school after 3 years of being absent from high school, finished their GED, and now is in the process of becoming a substance use counselor. Like, and I've had talks with this person to say, like, did you ever think that? It's like, no, I never wanted to be a counselor, but you know, what better off than someone who's been through it? And I'm like, you know what, you're right. You're right. You know, and it's awesome to see those stories when someone comes by our clinic and says, you know what, you helped me 2 years ago. And guess what I have right now? I have my daughter, you know, I have, you know, my family back. I have my brother and sister back. Those are the stories that, you know, make our jobs so much more, you know, beneficial. And it just makes our day when we hear like, you know what, you changed my life. And we get those stories a lot, and they're a blessing to hear.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, Jacob. And that's just a testament to the work that you and, you know, our colleagues here at Behavioral Health do, and just the compassion and desire to really help, right? Because I think those genuine connections are made. And one of the things that I've learned is that when there is that genuine connection, there's a higher probability of success. It doesn't matter which model we're using. It doesn't matter, you know, if we're following a certain structure. It's the connection. And we're very fortunate, again, I'm going to say it, to have people serving our agency as yourself, Jacob, and the team there at Substance Use Disorder Treatment through this York grant that we have in place. You know, California is really trying to make a difference with this and helping those individuals in need. What about, you know, if you had to think of something to leave our community with, a take-home message or a statement, what would that be?
I would say that just remember that substance use is a brain disease, a very curable brain disease, but more possible that recovery is not impossible. Recovery is possible. You know, recovery is possible with the proper help, you know, with the proper support, the proper guidance. And that's something that Imperial County Behavioral Health offers, from our mental health services to our, you know, to our SGD. We work together on helping you and your needs and wants. And we don't give you the goals that you want in services. You give yourself those goals, and we help you explore those goals. So we're not here to give you some checklist to improve on. You know, you and your counselor and therapist work towards your goals and treatment, and we help you get to those goals.
Amazing. Amazing. That's such a great way to wrap up our show today. You know, our clients, those seeking treatment, they're the drivers of to their success, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're guiding their treatment and steering it in the direction that they feel they need, because they're the experts, right? The individuals we're serving are the experts on what they need, and we're here to provide the tools to help them be successful. And I love that. So thank you for sharing that. So I want to remind everybody listening in, whether you're living with a mental illness or a substance use disorder, you know, supporting someone who is, remember that help is always available, and seeking help is a sign of strength and not weakness. For services, call 442-265-1525 or toll free at 1-800-817-5292. As mentioned several times, our services are tailored to your needs, and they do remain confidential. Jacob, I want to say thank you for being on the show with us today. And for those of you out there listening, if you know somebody that would benefit from the service or you're looking to seek out treatment, pick up the phone. It's the first start, right? Just reach out to us. We have staff that's ready to help, want to help, and we have services that are going to be tailored to your needs. So thank you, Jacob. We appreciate you being on the show, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Yeah, thank you, Alfonso.
All right. That's it for today, everyone. Have a good day.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte-Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.